Today is known as Good Shepherd Sunday in our archdiocese and in many other places of the church. And obviously the image of a shepherd and sheep and the language of the flock is used. In our archdiocese at this time, we also have a special collection this weekend to help support our seminarians, those young men who are on their way through the journey to become priests in the archdiocese. We have three at the moment. We have Mark Haar, who is in his sixth year of formation. We have Bran, I'm not sure how to pronounce his surname properly, G-R-C-I-C. Somebody from Croatia will have to help me out there. And he's just started this year, and I understand that Bran has had some time in the Australian Army, and he's about 33. So he's starting his journey into the priesthood at the same age as Jesus finished his at 33. And then you'll see that we have Eden Langlands, and Eden is currently a seminarian technically as a deacon, ordained deacon, and he will drop off the seminary list in June because he's going to be ordained a priest. So we will be hearing more about Eden's journey and his priesthood a little later. So if you're wondering what those envelopes are on your pews there, that is to support the education of our priests. It doesn't buy them lattes at the seminary. It pays the education fees. That's what that's for. So if you'd like to take those with you or contribute, that's what I ask you to do. And you can do it electronically as well. Now, that's the commercial break over and done with. But I have to do that because it's very important that we work on the seminarians that we have and highlight the fact that we always need more priests. And if you look at the back of the Catholic Voice that's at the entrances of the church, you'll see the photos of those three men. And I say young men. It's kind of like holding up a mirror, and all I see is that they're getting younger and we're getting older, some of us. So please keep Mark and Bran and Eden in your prayers. The image of a shepherd and sheep is not one that sits all that well with Australians, simply because of the agricultural style in which we work with sheep. It's very different than that in the Middle East. And it was even changing in the time of Jesus. The image of the shepherd was actually historically linked to the king of Israel. So shepherding the flock was a sign of noble leadership, if you like. Not always royalty, but certainly noble leadership. So they were to be wise, they were to be caring, they were to know their people personally. It was to have a relationship with them. So by the time of the first century in Palestine, the image of a shepherd had changed, gone from wisdom and caring and loving the flock to one that did not have a very good reputation. Shepherds were seen as dodgy. In my language, they were not seen as the wise, compassionate leaders for the main part. For the main part, they were seen as dodgy because they were unreliable and they were seen as being dishonest. They would often graze their sheep on other people's property, and therefore that would cause anxiety and tension in the community. Shepherds were not seen to be very trustworthy. I think also, as I may have mentioned a few years ago, that when there was a trial, a court sitting of some time, shepherds were not allowed to sit in the jury. So that's how they were treated in the first century. They were not so much outcasts, but they were certainly frowned upon. They were not seen as the wise, compassionate leaders. Jesus comes along, and the language that he uses when he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my flock and they know me, he's taking it back to the wise, compassionate leadership of the kings of Israel, not the dodgy brothers or the dodgy shepherds. Now, when we look So I'll just say that so that we put out of our mind the way that we manage sheep in Australia, for those of you who may come from a rural background. It's very different. In Australia, we don't even call them shepherds, really. They come behind the sheep, they use dogs and motorbikes, and they push the sheep forward. In Palestine, they go ahead of the sheep. They lead, and they call the sheep by name. They'll name each one of them. Because each sheep, individual sheep, was valuable in the family. It was a kind of economic currency as well. So very important to look after them. And when Jesus says in the gospel today, no one can steal them from me, the threat of stealing sheep was very real, both from humans and from wild animals. So the shepherd's role was one that went through the day and through the night. So very different for us in Australia. Once we understand that intimate language, we then start to think about, okay, so we talk about sheep and shepherds and the flock and shepherding in our church. So what makes our church want to use such symbolic language? Well, when I look at it, Christianity is, it's not an idea. It is not a philosophy. Christianity is not. It's not an ideology. Christianity is, at its core, a relationship. It is a relationship with God who knows our name and calls us by name. Now, that relationship starts for us at baptism, when we are physically named in front of family and members of the community. God calls our name. And this is where we start to feel a little more comfortable with the language of being compared to a sheep, not an Australian sheep, though at times we are fairly dopey. Let's admit it, we often are. So it could be a good image for some of us. But that the relationship is one that is based on the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, who knows us personally. And we spend our days wanting to respond to that call that we all get. It may be as a priest or a religious, it may be. It may be into the single life. It may be into the married life. But that call is there. And even, it would be fair to say, the call changes as we change and mature in our life and our relationship with God also grows and develops. Now, because God calls us by his voice, this relationship is based on a voice, and that's very good scriptural language as well. We don't always hear God talking to us, depending perhaps on what drugs we might be on. But we don't always hear, but he does call us. And he does speak to us. Firstly, he speaks to us most definitely in Scripture. We listen to Scripture. Certainly we read it, but we are listening to the voice of God in what it is that is being proclaimed. We hear the voice of Jesus coming through to us in the magisterium or the teaching of the church. And we look at our chief shepherds there for leadership, particularly the Pope and our bishops. We hear the voice of Jesus coming to us in our conscience. It is the voice of Jesus that teaches us and continually reaffirms in us right choices, good choices, and to move away from wrong choices and poor choices. It is the voice of Jesus that comes to us when life is awful for us and there are people who come into our life or have always been there, but they come forward at those times when life is not good for us and they gently wipe our tears and lift us up. Some people say they are angels of mercy. And that's not a bad image, but when we think of the good shepherd calling his sheep, it is the voice of Jesus working through the goodness and the spirit of those who are responding to that call. It is the voice of Jesus, not so much in a lovely sunset or the whiff of flowers. The voice of Jesus comes to us through relationships. we could look at the beautiful images of the world as like the thumbprints or the fingerprints of God leaving his mark in creation. But the voice of Jesus calling us, loving us, affirming us, leading us, comes through mainly through relationship. Our task then is to respond appropriately. Now, sometimes when we respond to what we think is the call of Jesus, we don't get it right. But the church has and always has had seven sacraments to help guide us, to lead us, to encourage us. The voice of Jesus comes to us through those sacraments. In a moment, you're going to share in the body and blood of Jesus. Many of us share in the forgiveness of Jesus in the sacrament of reconciliation. Our children and their families will be sharing in the Holy Spirit of God in about a month's time for confirmation. Last week I celebrated the sacrament of marriage, where Jesus speaks to us through a couple. In a month's time, a bit over a month's time, the voice of Jesus will speak to us at Eden's priesthood ordination at the cathedral, where we will see and hear the very voice of Jesus breathing life into a young man who's answering the call. The voice of Jesus comes to us when we anoint the sick. Sometimes it might be the last sacrament, but the voice of Jesus is present in the healing and in the suffering. But the suffering is part of a process. The healing is a response to that process. And that process of responding to the call is initiated by Jesus himself. He looks at us, he eyeballs us, and he calls us by name. It is up to us how we respond.